Welcome to the Mindful Method podcast, where we don't just fill your ears, we fill your mind with the tools to enhance your emotional and physical reality. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, here to guide you on this journey of the body-brain connection and help you take your power back to create the life you've always wanted. So grab a seat, because class is in session and our method is on the syllabus. Here at the Mindful Clinic, we're not just changing your mind, we're changing your life. One mindful moment at a time. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mindful Method podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, and I am so excited to talk to you today about a topic that I get asked about literally at least once a day. And this is intermittent fasting for women specifically. I will touch on men a little bit. And just right off the bat, I want to say I'm not fully against intermittent fasting. I think if you've been in my world for a while, you know my personality type. You're probably expecting me to like just totally shit on intermittent fasting. And you know, there will be a number of that in this episode. However, intermittent fasting can be very useful and successful in specific circumstances. And I also want to say that I personally myself utilize a method of intermittent fasting, if you will. It's just not how you've been taught to do it. So for those of you who do not know what intermittent fasting is essentially fasting, so not eating, for a long period of time. And you know, those periods can be different intervals. Intermittent fasting is technically, for it to be intermittent, there's a fasting period every 24 hours. If you're doing longer fasts, you know, you can do like a water fast, a 5-day water fast, or a juice cleanser, like just a full-on long fast. That's different than intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is within a 24-hour period. You are eating and you are fasting. And the intervals in which you eat and you fast can vary. So some people are really into 20 fast for eating intervals, or other people are like into 18 fast, 6 eating intervals. It doesn't really matter. You can find lots of research on both. And I'm sure if you've ever looked this up, or you have an interest in health, Facebook has so lovingly given you the ads that's like, if you have this type of hormonal belly, you need an 18-6 intermittent fast. Or if you have this type of alcohol belly, then you need this. Blah, blah. And you know what? There can be science and research behind pretty much any diet that we look into. Now, does that mean that that diet works in all cases? Absolutely not. And as we know, there is a major, major, major gender bias in research, where most of the time the research is done on men. And why? Well, because men are significantly more simplistic from a hormonal perspective than women. Men are on a 24-hour hormonal cycle. So every 24 hours, specific hormones increase, other ones decrease, and vice versa. Women are on a 24-hour hormonal cycle and a 28-day hormonal cycle, or 30-day, or however long your cycle is. Even if you have gone through menopause, you still need to experience rises and falls in levels of estrogen and progesterone and luteinizing hormone and testosterone and follicular hormone. And all of these hormones, it's not on a 24-hour cycle. So most of the time, the research that's done for things like intermittent fasting, for things like other types of diets, are done on men, just because it's more predictable. And it's kind of like, you know, if you want to test, this might be a silly example, but if you want to test something to do with rats or mice, you're not going to get like a spotted mouse and a black mouse and a white mouse, because you have no idea the different type of genetic codes that can be available with that. So when you're doing research, you want the sample size to be, I mean, if you want to prove the research, you want the sample size to be as non-diverse as possible. You want it to be comparable from one person to the next. The more we get into different races and different cultures, the larger the sample size needs to be, and the more complex and, quite frankly, expensive the research will have to be. And this is where money comes into play, which really, truly, if you want to see if research is valid, you just got to follow the money trail. So anyways, and see who's backing it. Okay, let's talk about intermittent fasting. So intermittent fasting is fasting for a certain period of time and then eating for a certain period of time within a 24-hour cycle. One of the major reasons why people would utilize intermittent fasting is to give their body a break from an eating period. When we eat something, so I've explained this before in previous episodes, but if you're new to my world, welcome. And also, I believe it's the digestive system episode. It's in the first season. It's a long time ago. But anyways, our bodies is like a big donut hole. Like we have a hole from our mouth and that hole goes like through the esophagus into the esophageal sphincter and the stomach, and then from the stomach into the duodenum, and then from the duodenum into the small intestine, and then from the small intestine into the large intestine. From the large intestine, you know, we have the ascending, transverse, and descending colon, and then right out through the anus. So technically, we're one large hole from one end of the body to the other end of the body. And that hole is covered by certain types of cells that create like a skin-like layer. So I think it's endothelial layer. But that layer is semi-permeable, right? So when we eat something, the expectation is that we eat it and then the body's pulling nutrients through the intestinal wall and into the bloodstream. From the bloodstream, those nutrients go to the liver to be processed. And then from the liver, there's like shuttles to different cells and different organs that those nutrients go to. Now, when we put something into our pie hole, into our hole in our mouth, it is a foreign invader, okay? So when anything enters our body, like when you enter it into your mouth, it's not going to the heart. Like it will eventually through a huge process that should take like 48 to 72 hours for the body to vet, is this poisonous? Is this like helpful? Where does this go? Like the body's very, very, very intelligent. And so when we put it into our mouth, anything that we put into our mouth is treated as a foreign invader. And the body is going to work in order from what is going to kill me first to what is going to kill me last. So when people come to me, obviously, if you know me, you know that I am like weight loss queen or weight release queen. Most people are coming to me to release the excess weight. Now, that excess weight is the fucking last thing your body cares about. That excess weight is actually your brain thinks is protecting you. So when you want to like release the weight or lose the weight and you're like, I don't know, it's not coming off. It's like, okay, let's work in order from order of operations. What does your body think is the biggest threat? You might believe that, you know, that extra layer of fat makes you unlovable and therefore makes you unhappy. And that's like really threatening for you. But the body is on a completely different program. The body doesn't care if you're lovable or not. The body cares like what's going to keep me alive in this moment. And actually that extra layer of fat that you're holding on to is adaptively very protective. It's like it stores in case you're stranded on a desert island, and it's literal protection for like your organs and the trauma that lives inside your body. So when we put something into our pie hole, into our mouth, it is treated as a foreign invader. So the body automatically thinks, this is what could kill me first, okay? If we have, let's say, malignant cells like cancer cells growing, yes, cancer cells can grow very quickly, but when something is an immediate foreign invader versus something that's growing over time, the body is going to ignore cleaning up the malignant cells, cleaning up the debris, and it's going to go directly to the thing that like it needs to deal with in this moment. Digestion like isn't going to wait for your body to deal with cancer, okay? Digestion isn't going to wait for your body to like clean up the lymph system. Digestion is going to happen first. So when we put something, when we eat something, the body goes immediately, all of its energy, a lot of blood flow goes to digesting that specific thing. When we have shorter eating periods throughout the day, the fasting period offers an opportunity for the body to really go in and break down malignant cells and clean up the debris and work through the lymph system and detox and regulate hormones and literally create a restoration process. And in, you know, scientific terms, a lot of this is called autophagy, which is really the act or the component of your cells eating other cells. We always like phagy is like eat, right? Like phage. And so we see these like what killer, like these good killer white immune cells going for the viruses, going for the cells that are not helpful for the body, anything that's going to cause like long-term ill health, inflammation, all those things. And those things, the inflammation, the toxins, the debris, the, you know, the malignant cells, the incorrect DNA or the mutated mitochondria are not first priority. Digestion is. So when we have a break from digestion, the body gets a chance to go in and do all of those things. One of the benefits of that is we are breaking down fat that we do not need. And that happens through allowing the body to like deal with what it needs to first in order to go into burn stored fat, which truly is its last priority, especially if you're wired that way. That's where subconscious programming comes in. But the other thing is you still need energy in that time, especially if you're awake, right? So typical intermittent fasting periods and the way it's been marketed is, you know, most of the time we're pushing back breakfast or we're skipping breakfast altogether and we're starting to eat around like 12 p.m. or even 1 p.m. For some people, they have one meal a day and it's at like 4 p.m. And then let's say you're on a very common intermittent fasting interval. You might push your breakfast or skip breakfast altogether, start eating at 12 or 1, and then stop eating by like 6 or 7, right? So for that entire time from 7 p.m. onward, all the way through your sleeping, all the way up until 12 or 1 p.m. the next day, your body still needs energy and it's going to be engaging in autophagy and it's going to be restoring and it's going to be balancing hormones, but it's also going to need energy. So it's going to go into stored fat and burn that as energy. Super cool. This is one of the reasons why intermittent fasting is so popular and successful for most people. And for men, 9 times out of 10, I would say even like 9.9 times out of 10, that's exactly what's gonna fucking happen. Like for men, intermittent fasting is so, so, so powerful and predictable. For women, okay, this is a completely fucking different story because women's hormones are so complex. And one of the hormones that really, and we can really see this on the Dutch test, you know what, before I get into that, I'm gonna tell you about my story with intermittent fasting. So I was a huge fan of intermittent fasting. I was also on like a very low carb diet at the time. And I would exercise in the morning. So because my brain is more dopamine oriented, and if you're listening to this and you want to know if your brain is more dopamine oriented, so you might have like a genetic mutation like I do on the DRT-D2 gene, these are people that are more predisposed to addictive like tendencies. So if you're like, I just have an addictive personality, this is for you. Because my brain is more dopamine oriented, when I engage in especially aerobic or cardiovascular exercise in the morning, I mean, definitely still anaerobic as well, but specifically cardiovascular exercise in the morning, my brain creates its own level of dopamine and endorphins. And I actually get less hungry. Like some people work out and they're like, oh, I'm starving afterwards. I'm like, I'm not hungry at all after I work out. And that's because my brain has been wired to feed off of dopamine. And so when I get a nice big dump of dopamine and endorphins in the morning, the brain's like, I'm good, I'm satiated. I had a client too in the Mindful Method tell me, you know, when she's really busy with work, like she'll go all day not eating. And then all of like when she's at home bored or like stressed or just going through little tasks, she can't stop eating. That's a dopamine brain. You're not eating for true hunger cues at that point. You're eating because your brain wants to experience validation. It wants to experience reinforcement, right? So anyways, I was following, I don't even know, like I was not eating before 1 or 2 p.m. Once it got to 1 or 2 p.m., I was working with Dr. Abraham in the obesity clinic at this time. So I would see all these patients in the morning. I would run my 20 kilometers. I'd come to work. I wouldn't eat anything. And at 1 or 2 p.m., I would finally allow myself to have lunch. And if it was like before, if it was 12 and I wanted to eat, I would just like distract myself, like just have a million cups of tea. And obviously, in the beginning, I lost quite a bit of weight, right? Which you will. Like intermittent fasting is going to be effective for most people in the beginning because you're going to lose a lot of water weight and you're going to allow the body to go in and like just heal, okay? However, eventually I hit like a plateau. I hit a saturation point. Plateau is more accurate than saturation point, but I hit this plateau. And no matter how much I tried, I could not get through that plateau. The weight became more stubborn. It seemed like my inflammation got worse. And I just became hungrier and hungrier by the day, trying to put off my meals, trying to eat less. Oh, maybe if I start eating at 3, maybe if I start eating at 4, maybe if I go even lower carb. And it just like, it literally was part of the death of me. Like I almost died doing this. But I was so into the research. And I'm like, there's no way this isn't going to work because it works for all of these people. Oh, maybe I should just have one meal a day and no snacks. And I'm like looking all the shit up and the research is confirming it. So I'm like, perfect. I did not lose a single pound once I hit that plateau point. And in fact, I started to gain quite a bit of weight. I started to notice my legs getting really puffy. There was more cellulite. And I was so confused because I was running every morning and burning myself out. But anyways, so I started to really recognize that something was not right here. And when you know, I obviously healed from all of that in my own way, had to hit rock bottom. And I started really looking into women's hormones, and I started to work with like hundreds and like we've seen over 1,000 patients at this point. But in, you know, when you work with that many people and you see these patterns over and over again, you start to ask some pretty significant questions. And when we run the Dutch test, we can really see that one of the biggest hormones for women that's going to complicate intermittent fasting is cortisol. And actually, an extension of that, cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine. So we're talking about cortisol and adrenaline, essentially. So women, we need to feel very, very, very safe in order for our body to go into fat and burn it, especially because primarily, and from an evolution perspective, a woman's job is to reproduce. And so if the brain and body feel like it's not safe, if we have a lot of stress in our life, and most of that stress probably comes from our own internal thoughts about ourselves and the way that we eat and like dieting and like all these and exercising and all these things, like we're sending a signal constantly, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, I'm not safe. And so the body is going to go into store mode, like, because all it cares about is wanting to reproduce. And if you don't have enough fat content on you or enough stores to take care of you, you're not going to be able to take care of a child, right? And so when this happens, so basically, let's say you stop eating at like 7 p.m. and you don't eat until 1 p.m. From the moment you wake up until 1 p.m., rather than your body going into stored fat to burn for energy, women start to run on adrenaline. And I can see this so fucking clearly in the Dutch test. So if you're like, I don't know if this is me, but I've hit a plateau and I intermittent fast and I want to know, like, just run the Dutch test and test, don't guess, right? We can do that for you, whether you're a client or not. You will have to be in the membership though, just because like I'll need a way to like give it to you and whatever. If not, go see a naturopath that's close to you. They can run a Dutch test for you. I don't know if they're going to be knowledgeable in this. I can't guarantee that. But anyways, we can see it very clearly, or at least I can see it very clearly in the Dutch test, where cortisol starts to do some funny things, the weight gets super stubborn, and the women start to run on adrenaline. When we run on adrenaline, it's a fake energy. So you're going to feel wired but tired all the time. You might even start to experience this, like, it's almost like during the day, you're kind of like, you're wired. So like you have energy. It doesn't feel like you're completely in burnout. But around 9 p.m., like you just get this like huge swing of energy, and then it's hard to fall asleep and you can't stop the thoughts. It's like intrusive thoughts coming all night in order for you to fall asleep or before you fall asleep. So when we're running on adrenaline, it's not a real energy. And so weight gets really stubborn and you get like wiry but tired, and it's kind of like everything becomes an encumbrance. So there was a perfect example of this when I was studying meditation just last semester and spirituality. And there's this one psychologist, I can't remember his name, but he talks about how when we look at the difference between somebody who's depressed and non-depressed, we can see it in when they do very small tasks. So when you're doing the laundry, are you like, oh, I have to do the laundry? I mean, nobody loves doing the laundry. Or are you like, yes, I just do the laundry and it's a part of my day and it feels good to do the laundry and it's like it's all a part of this bigger plan which makes me and it's self-care and blah, 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 blah. What starts to happen is when we start to burn out, we start to experience symptoms of depression. And depression often is the brain and the body trying to tell you like, hey, we're not aligned here. Like something's not right, okay? Like we are going off the path. And just remember that your brain and your body can't tell you that in any other way but adversity. Because if things feel good, you would never change, right? Like if things are good, things are good. There's no motivation to change. But when you have these negative symptoms, especially mental health symptoms, it's your brain being like, bitch, we are on the wrong fucking path. Like you are not, you're not following me. You're not listening. And so anyways, I don't even know how I got on this tangent. But when you're doing these little mundane tasks, when we're in this tired but wired place and we're running on adrenaline, it doesn't feel satisfactory. It feels like we get really overwhelmed. It feels like there's too much to do and we don't know how to like handle it. We don't have energy for ourselves anymore. So we kind of lose this like joie de vivre, this like lust for life. And I can actually visually see it in my clients when they come to me. Most of them are in this place anyways, or they're in full burnout, or they're not really seeking my help. They're going to exhaust all other options before they come to me, which is totally fine. But you can really see like the light in somebody's eyes when they're aligned. And this is one of the things that I can see so clearly in myself when I'm starting to gear off path or when I'm not listening to my body. Like I kind of get this like really dull aura and like dullness in my eyes and dullness in my face. And one of the things I'm most complimented on all the time is like how bright and glowy my eyes are. And I'm like, yeah, that's not because I'm putting eye drops in them. That's because I actively make an effort every single day to like listen to what the fuck my body's trying to tell me, because there was a long period of time when I did not and I almost died from it. So, and honestly, whether or not you've hit that like burnout point or you just like don't have motivation in your day, you just don't feel fulfilled, it's like, you know, one is an extreme situation and the other is death by a thousand paper cuts, like pick your poison. But with intermittent fasting, when we're running on adrenaline, there's no fat that's coming off. So if you're wanting, for all the people who ask me in my DMs and when I post anonymous questions, like at least five questions have to do with intermittent fasting. When people ask me about intermittent fasting, my question is why? Why do you want to do intermittent fasting? And if the answer is weight loss and you're a female, you need to be very, very careful. I'm going to explain to you how to do it safely in that way. But the other kind of component here that I want to talk about before I get into that is if you have an overeating disorder. And if you don't identify with that, it's so interesting because when we get people to fill out our applications, we ask, are you an emotional eater? And some people say yes, and some people say no. And are you addicted to food? And some people say yes, and some people say no. And some people say, no, they're not addicted to food, but yes, they're an emotional eater. And so the really interesting thing, and actually we see this in research too, where it's very, very difficult, like in the DSM-5, which is the, you know, the Bible for diagnosing mental health disorders. It's very difficult to diagnose an overeating disorder because it is so fucking subjective. I have a lot of people who come to me and they're like, I didn't even know I overate. I just knew the weight wasn't coming off. So when someone messages me and they're like, I don't have an eating problem, I just can't lose the weight, part of me is like, maybe, but most of me is like, you probably just aren't aware, right, of how much you're snacking, how much you're eating when you're not actually hungry. And so if you're coming and you want to do intermittent fasting and you want to do it from a weight loss perspective, if you have any type of like disordered eating, body dysmorphia relationship, I'm going to put a huge disclaimer. It's probably not the right thing for you. You can still optimize it, but if you approach it like the science tells you to, like research tells you to, where, you know, every day at 12 p.m. you break that fast, then it is a diet. And as long as you are following this diet, every day at 12 p.m., you break your fast and you eat from 12 to 7, you are ignoring your intuitive hunger cues throughout all of the other times of the day. So if you're genuinely hungry at 10 a.m. and you're like, nope, it's not 12 p.m. yet, and you ignore it, your body goes, this bitch isn't listening to me. And it disconnects that intuitive signal between I'm actually hungry and I'm actually full. And I've said this a million times, but like my daughter's almost two now. You can't overfeed the girl if she's not hungry. You listening to this, you are born with the intuitive process of knowing exactly when you're hungry and exactly when you're full. You've just unlearned it because you've dieted, because you've listened to society, because you've told your body it's not good enough, because your brain's like, I think I know better and I have a goal. And so the more that we disconnect from that intuition, the more you are going to overeat, because not only are you not going to hear I'm hungry anymore, but you're not going to hear I'm full either. And one of the classic things I hear when people are doing intermittent fasting, like, I'm not even hungry in the morning anymore. I'm like, okay, no, that's not possible, because you're a human being. You're not a fucking robot, okay? Every day you have different needs. Every single day, especially for women, different times of the month, different emotional things that are going on. You have different needs on a moment-to-moment basis. You're not a fucking robot. You're not programmed in. It's like, oh, only 800 calories every single day, and that's exactly going to meet my needs. Like, the brain's like, no. Like, sorry, but no. You know? And so because you're a different human being every single day, we have to acknowledge and really respect what our body's trying to tell us. And in the beginning, this can be really difficult because it might be hard to distinguish what is true intuition and what is like just the desire to engage in receiving dopamine. And that's an entirely different topic. So I'll leave that there. But if you hear that first signal at like 10 a.m. and it's like, I'm hungry, and you're like, no, we're not eating until 12, and you do that over and over and over again, you're going to disconnect from that I'm hungry and I'm full. And if you're then only eating in a specific period and you're not connected to that signal, your body's going to store everything. So that's where we start to hit that plateau. We hit that plateau for two reasons. Hormonally, because we start to run on adrenaline instead of actually going into stored fat to burn for energy. And emotionally, because the brain goes, I don't know when my next meal is going to be. And it's like, well, we got to store everything because we're in danger, because you're literally disconnected from your body. And that is like the most fucking dangerous threat that the body can have, is you and yourself in this day and age. Okay. So if you have a history of disordered eating, body dysmorphia, whatever, and you decide to engage in intermittent fasting, you're going to lose weight in the beginning. Everyone will. And then you're going to plateau and you're going to be like, what the fuck do I do? You're probably going to start to reduce your calories even more. Maybe you'll join a gym. That's not the answer. If you actually want to heal this, or like utilize intermittent fasting and make it work long term, you're going to have to teach yourself how to listen to your body. If you need help with this, like, this is exactly what the Mindful Method is about. Like, my job in the Mindful Method is to help you reestablish that connection between the brain and the body. And we do that through things like hypnosis, subconscious reprogramming. We do it through healing trauma. We do that through nutrition, like functional medicine. Like, there's, it's, you know, it's very complex, but at minimum, you can start with the membership and just start to listen to hypnosis. Because here's the really interesting thing. I can get you to stop overeating very easily in like a couple of weeks, really easily, actually. But if your body is still afraid of you because it doesn't trust you, and because for the entirety of your life, maybe you're 40 listening to this, for the 40 fucking years of your life, you've like worked against your body instead of worked with it, your body's not all of a sudden going to go, okay, I'm going to listen. Like, your body's still going to store everything. So you could be doing everything right and your body's still storing it. That's because we haven't reprogrammed the subconscious yet. And that's where things like hypnosis and RRT and different types of subconscious reprogramming come in. And you can find all of that in the membership. It's such a low cost. It's $27 a month. It's like, it's a no fucking brainer. It's a really good place to start. But anyways, now that I have yelled at all of you about intermittent fasting, which I promised right in the beginning I would not, I'm going to tell you how I intermittent fast and how it works for me and what I would suggest if you're interested in doing it and you're a female listening to this and you might have some weight to lose, or maybe you just want to balance your body, give your body a break, whatever, it doesn't matter. So number one, if your nervous system is very dysregulated, so if you are very irritable all the time or you experience a lot of stress and you can't handle it, you are automatically going to go into like running on adrenaline rather than burning fat. So you do need to have an element of like working on your nervous system and making yourself feel safe on a moment to moment basis. That's kind of like basics. Like, that needs to happen. I don't care what practice you have, if it's a breathwork practice, a meditation practice, if it's like Pilates and you just turn off at that time, or you pray, I don't care, but like, there has to be some type of nervous system regulation. That's number one. Number two, you never you never follow a restrictive interval of fasting. Never. It's never every day 18 hours and 6 hours, or 20 and 4, or 22 and 1. It never. Okay. Your goal with intermittent fasting is to push back a meal. So if you choose it to be breakfast, cool. You can't really do it with lunch because you will have already eaten on either side of that. But so breakfast or dinner. If you're doing breakfast, your goal is to push back breakfast. I would suggest doing it in 20-minute intervals. So when you first get that cue of like, hey, I'd like to eat right now, you just go, can I wait 20 minutes? Just push it back. And then you'll push it back again. You'll push it back again. Eventually you'll be like, now I'm really hungry. And the cool thing about this is you've now taught your brain what real hunger actually feels like. Because the chances are the first time that you get that signal of I'm hungry, it's probably not real hunger. It's probably your brain being like, hey, it's time to eat. I want to eat something, or I want to feel validation, or I want to reduce the stress, or I want to hit, or I want whatever it is. I want a reinforcement. I want to experience pleasure. And the other thing is, you never do the same thing every day. And so, yes, I typically am genuinely not hungry in the morning. I have a dopamine-oriented brain. I've done a lot of work to rewire it. It definitely doesn't rule my life anymore, but it is my construct. And like, you know, we can change it with hypnosis and all of those things. But when I'm working out in the morning, it's not likely I'm going to be hungry right after. But sometimes I am. And when I am, I listen to that. And so for the most part, I don't really eat breakfast until like, I don't know, I can't even say because it's different every day. But it's very rarely before 10 a.m., like, is what I would say. But sometimes it is. And so you're listening to this being like, okay, Jordana does not write down any notes. This is all over the place. But, like, I'm glad it should be because I want you to understand, like, how all over the place you need to be in order for you to be authentic to your own energy. Because it's going to change all the fucking time. And if you're a Virgo like me, like that is the most terrifying thing in the whole world is not being able to predict or control or have it fit into a perfect category. But it is the truth. The truth is every day you're going to have different needs. And if you want to practice like pushing it back 10 minutes, 20 minutes, cool, no problem. But it's not every day at 1 p.m. I break my fast because you're just, all you're going to do is disconnect, okay? The other thing is for women, it's just significantly more successful or powerful or effective is the word I'm looking for to eat breakfast and allow your body to run on fuel so you can teach your brain to use fuel, which literally would be stored fat and burn it for energy rather than use stress hormones. So you eat breakfast and you finish dinner early and you have your fast go from like the dinner time onward. So, oh my gosh, in a perfect world when I'm like single and don't have kids, just kidding, love you guys. But like if I could just control my entire day, I would eat at 4 p.m., 5 p.m. and I wouldn't need to eat again. And that actually is the most effective thing you can do for weight loss because you're teaching the brain to use fuel. You're not running on stress hormones during the day, but you do still have this really long fasting period where your body can go in and change and restore and balance hormones and work on inflammation and get rid of the debris and clean out the cobwebs and all that stuff. So anyways, those are kind of the three things that I would really think about. It would be first and foremost, regulate the nervous system, like do subconscious reprogramming, join the fucking membership. It's so inexpensive. It's a no-brainer. Perfect place to start. Number two is it can't be a specific time. Like you have to be curious about where your energy is and be able to listen to yourself, but also like want to challenge yourself, you know, like play a little game with yourself. And the third thing is for women specifically, just fucking eat breakfast and finish dinner early if you have that opportunity. Okay, guys, I love you so much. If you like this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe, and I'll see you back on another episode of the Mindful Method podcast. Bye.